Good to have you back. I hope you had a great week from last week. How many of you were here last week? I'll put your hands back down. How many of you learned something new last week? Well, I'm glad to see someone learned something new. That's great. How many knew all that stuff already? I knew somebody would. Well, great. Well, now for another controversial session. You guys like controversy, don't you? Isn't that what college is all about? Controversy? Controversy. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the dating game. Okay? And so, we're going to need to pray about this one. Because, you just never know what might happen after this session tonight. Okay? So, let's bow our heads. And we'll stop passing the thing around for a moment. And then after we pray, you can keep passing it around. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you tonight so much for your faithfulness in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you were with us all week, that you never left us. We thank you, Lord, that you delight in us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you find great joy in us. And what a wonderful thing it is, Lord, to know you, to enjoy you daily in our lives, to experience God, the living God, and the loving God of the universe. We thank you, Lord, so much that you've given us a secure destiny and that we know where we're going to spend our eternity. We thank you that you've given us purpose and meaning in life. And we thank you, Lord, as well that you've given us a roadmap to living, a blueprint for success that will guide us into every aspect of our lives. We ask you tonight, Lord, help us. We ask you tonight to give us understanding hearts. Give us hearts and minds that are willing to learn. Give us hearts and minds, Lord, that are willing to consider something maybe we've not considered before. We thank you, Lord, so much that you made male and female. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of interacting with the member of the opposite sex, probably every one of us here in this room, someday in the future, and maybe very soon we'll be married. And we thank you, God, it was your idea. Marriage, the family, love, sex, it was all your plan. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We ask you to guide our time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. How many of you remember Pavlov's dog? Pavlov. Pavlov's dog? Everybody remember Pavlov's dog? That's one of the only other things I remember from school. Is Pavlov's dogs. One was, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And I remember that John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln. And then I remember Pavlov's dogs. And I want to start out with a simple little theory tonight because I think it'll help you understand what I want to relate tonight. But if you remember Pavlov's dogs, the theory was that what this guy tried to do... Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. This is psychology, right? Pavlov, he was a psychologist? Okay. So he had these dogs, and he wanted to see if he can condition them to salivate. Well, he used salivation as a proof for conditioning, that you can condition certain responses out of animals as well as people. And so for a while, correct, did he give them food? Is that what he gave them? He gave them food and he'd ring a bell and all that kind of stuff. Till finally he wouldn't give them any food, he'd just ring the bell and they'd salivate, right? You don't nod your head, right? Very good, class. That's great. Very good. Okay, now, I want to share with you a theory. All right? And I got to ask you this week to be open-minded, be rational, be logical. I'm going to do my best to be rational, logical tonight. All right? My personal feeling is that without you knowing it, you have been systematically conditioned from the time you were a child watching television as to how members of the opposite sex interact with one another. Now, you may not like to hear that, but it's the truth. I was listening to KDWB all the way down here tonight, just so I could get my ammo. You know, I listen to KDWB quite a bit, to be honest with you, because it always proves my point. All you got to do is listen to the song. What kind of music do they play on the radio? How do the men interact with the women? How do the women interact with the men? That tells you the kind of conditioning that we have. Now, what do I mean by conditioning? Here's what I mean. I mean that when boy meets girl or girl meets boy, there are preconceived notions that come to mind that are automatic. Romance, for an example. When you start to feel romantic or get a situation, there is totally a Hollywood mentality that immediately comes to your mind as how it ought to be and how it ought to go and how love's supposed to feel. Because you have been regularly, all of us, ever since we were small, conditioned to what love is, to what sex is, and to what dating is supposed to be and what it isn't supposed to be, what the sensation is supposed to be. Most people cannot tell the difference between infatuation and love. And many people who get married are simply infatuated. They don't love each other at all. They think they love each other. They're infatuated. And so there's a big difference. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is what I call the dating game. And I think personally, first thing I want to start out with tonight is to let you know that in my personal opinion, dating is a matter of personal conviction. All right? And I believe, I want you to turn just real quickly to Romans chapter 14. Just bear with me here for a moment, okay? Romans chapter 14, in verse 1. It says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. And I want you to underscore that on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Personally, I just want to say something here about weakness. I don't think this is weakness in a bad way. I think what he's talking about here is a person whose faith is sensitive. Okay? I think when we look at this, us strong people, we think, well, we got something up on this weakling. That's really not the point of Romans chapter 14. Some people have faith in their understanding of the Scripture, their understanding of their walk with God, that there are a lot of things that are allowable. And their faith allows them to do a lot of things that some people may think, well, that's unspiritual or that's sin. And if you study the Scripture carefully, you begin to realize that isn't always the case. And some people have a faith that is very sensitized, very, you might say, extra sensitive. And so he relates it here as strong and weak. And so he says there's disputable matters, Paul does, and he says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? And this is where I want to hone in here. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Each one of us is responsible to the Lord. You know, I've shared that with you before. Each one of us has a personal relationship with Christ. And so he's our Lord and he's our master, and we stand, with him we stand or fall, you see, not with one another. With him we stand or fall. So one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike, and each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And that's very important, that you're fully convinced in your own mind. You have personal conviction and you operate under that personal conviction. Now, what I hope to do tonight is simply expand our personal convictions. Okay? I'll have to give you some insights tonight, and I want to speak to you very frankly and very honestly about dating. I hope that we can do that tonight. I want to take an honest look at the whole dating process as it usually operates. I want to see what we can learn together from it, how we can use it without it using us, how to avoid its pitfalls, and how to maintain a biblical, God-honoring relationship with the opposite sex. So that's what we want to try to accomplish tonight, and I want to ask you to just bear with me, and I think you'll really learn some valuable things tonight. First of all, I want to just give you what, and again, this is my opinion, but my opinion is based on experience and observation. Whenever I give you my opinions, they're not just something I pull out of the sky. I want you to understand that. It's something through a lot of observation. I do a lot of counseling. I've been involved with a lot of you in this room, a lot of people who are not in this room. And I've watched and observed society and through my own experience. And so I want to give you my opinion tonight based on that and feedback I've gotten from you all, the typical dating situation. You go out and have fun. It starts that way. You go out with someone, there's an interest, you have a good time, and pretty soon you get more involved. Just more dependent on one another, more interested in one another, however you want to call it. And then it's not usually, and especially now, too long down the road before the involvement turns physical, then sexual, then someone gets hurt, you break up, and you start over. Now, I'm not saying that's every single situation. I am saying that's a typical situation. That happens quite often, and many of you in this room could stand up and give your own personal testimony as to those types of situations. I think, personally, we need to be honest about what's really going on in a dating situation today. Most of the time in dating, two people are seeking to fulfill their own personal desires from a selfish motivation rather than really looking out for the good of the other person. And I just want to give you a few scenarios that I've seen happen in my past and I've observed happen around me. It's real easy sometimes when you think about the opposite sex. Oftentimes our dating mentality revolves around something we want. We want companionship. Maybe it's just simply we want sex. Or we just want a friend. Or we want somebody to go do something with. Or we want someone we can rely on. And pretty soon you get in the situation and you begin to apply your own personal expectations on the other person in the relationship. And you have to understand why I say this so strongly, because I know human nature. This is human nature I'm talking about tonight. There are none of us in here that are not subject to human nature. And society itself is subject to human nature. And so we have a situation today, and I've talked to many of you in this room, that and because I'm younger, I mean because I'm older, and you're younger than I am, some of us are 12 years apart, 13 years apart. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a big difference from when I went to high school and my college age years than your day and age. There's a huge difference today. There was certainly pressure in my 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old period and even beyond to have sex. But I want to tell you, it is about 13 times the pressure now that it was when I was in high school. And so we have these situations where now, and this was happening too when I was in high school, you got somebody 13, 14 years old, they start to date. They get involved with someone. They go steady. This person becomes the focal point of their life, not the family, but the individual, their peer group, and particularly the guy or the girl. And they become the focal point of their life. They become dependent on that individual. They become involved with that individual. And then they become physically involved. That's one of the reasons we have such a tremendously high teen pregnancy rate today. It's not that people aren't educated about sex. It's that they know everything there really is and need to know about it. And there are no restraints. And there's no guidelines. And nobody has any standards. So we just jump into the giant pool, you see. And it gets going. Well, what happens? This person, this guy or this girl, maybe they're 13, they go steady till they're 14 or 14 and a half, 15, they break up. It devastates them. I mean, I've seen it. You've been through it. It's devastating. You feel rejected. You feel belittled. So you begin to develop some bitterness. And you've got to find a way to deal with your bitterness. So you find somebody new. And oftentimes I found this process has happened through anywhere from 2 to 6 to 7 to 10, who knows how many times before the person gets married. So now they've had anywhere from 1 to 8, or who knows how many different types of these relationships. Now they get married to the individual they want to really spend the rest of their life with, but you know what happens? They find out that marriage isn't all they thought it was going to be. They find out that there's a ton of pressure in marriage. They find out that they can't cope as a young adult. And so they deal with the marriage the same way they dealt with the date. They drop it, and they go on to something else. And there's hurt, and there's scar after scar after scar after scar. Now, I'd like to spare you from all that personally. Some of you have enough scars. You don't need any more. You don't need any more of that kind of thing happening in your life. You need some ideas, some guidelines, some conviction, some direction as to where you're going to go in your life if you choose to date. And so I'd like to give you some of those biblical principles. Number one, if you want to write these down, you can. If not, that's fine, but I think they'll really help you. Number one, I think that the most important thing in relationship with opposite sex, and I really do, I think this is the most important thing, is that you look out for the spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being of the other person. That you put the interest of others before your own. I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Always remember, you know, I've had a lot of people, as they interact with me, they want to get advice. They want to know, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? I just don't feel a lot of peace about this particular situation or this particular situation. And I have found that 8 times out of 10, okay, that I am able to take that individual in a loving and caring way and point them to absolute biblical principles and truth that tell them exactly what they ought to do. God did not leave you as orphans in the world. In two ways He did not leave you. In John chapter 14, it tells us this. He sent His Spirit who lives in you. But do you know the purpose of the Spirit? The purpose of the Spirit is to guide you into all truth. Where is all truth? Right here. And if you want to know what God wants in your life, you must know the truth. The Spirit cannot possibly give you guidance without the Father's words. Jesus Himself said, I speak nothing of my own initiative, only what the Father tells me. That's what I say. That's how you know I am not speaking for my own glory, but for the glory of my Father. So you need guidelines for living. And I want to go on record right now that you understand life is not nebulous, God is not nebulous, and I could probably, any question you ask me, direct you to biblical principles that will answer that particular area of your life and what you ought to do. Now then, of course, is the decision, well, I don't like it. I don't like what it says, so I'm not going to do it. Well, that's fine, but I at least want you to understand that you have to realize God is very clear on what He says. All right. Now, the Bible's not clear on dating. And I'll be the first one to admit that. I cannot point you to a verse that says, thou shalt not date. And I'm not going to try. I don't want to do that. You must arrive at your own conviction, but I can. I can, with full authority on the Word of God, give you guidelines for what your relationship ought to be and what it ought not to be. According to God, not according to Mark. Okay? So the first one is in Philippians chapter 2. And starting with verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. Your attitude, okay? Your attitude, this means to start in your mind. In your mind, and it will work out into your living. And Jesus' attitude was such that even though He was the very nature of God, He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing. He took the nature of a servant, and He was made in human likeness. He was found in the appearance of a man. He humbled Himself, and He became obedient to the point of death. Okay? So we see here that putting another person's interest first is of primary concern with God. Where would we be if Jesus had not looked out for our spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being? Where would we be? What would we have? We'd have nothing. We'd be empty. We'd be hopeless. We'd know no joy. And we'd have absolutely no possibility for success in relationship or success in life. We wouldn't have it. So the first guiding principle that you need in your relationship with the opposite sex is that you need to take it on. You need to understand this. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. You are under mandate from God to look out for their interest. And we're going to get into specifically what that is. All right? Just think about this question. If you wouldn't marry the person, ask yourself, what is the purpose of this relationship? If you wouldn't marry the person, what is the purpose of the relationship? Number one, is it emotional dependence? Is it physical dependence? Am I using this person to meet my own needs and feed my own ego? Am I just flirting around? That's an easy thing to do, you know? That's why Proverbs says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Flirting is a great American pastime for both men and women. Okay, let's be honest about that. It's at an all-time high for American pastime, particularly on the college campus, particularly in a city like the Twin Cities. I mean, that's what many people live for, is messing around. So I think we need to be honest with ourselves, okay? And we need to be honest before God. Secondly, for you guys, of course, this would be true for your girls too. Don't keep nagging someone to go out with you if they said no. Nothing is more unloving in the world than to keep ragging on somebody to go out with you. You're forcing yourself on someone. Don't do it. Women can't stand it. Men can't stand it. And it is not considerate of the other person. Love is always considerate. That's how you always know someone really loves you. They're considerate. There's a considerateness. That don't mean they're perfect, but their considerateness is shown in words and in deeds. I think it's important, when I ask that question, if you wouldn't marry the person. The reason I ask that question, if you wouldn't, then what are you doing? Okay? That's my whole point. Well, someone might say, well, but Mark, how do I know until I date him? Oh, man, there's lots of ways to know without dating whether or not you'd marry the person. I mean, first of all, do you work with, let's say you work with the person. What do they work like? Are they a person of integrity? Are they a person with high moral conviction? Are they just a charming stud? You know? Or is she just some gorgeous hunk of woman? You have to start asking yourself some honest questions. All right? Then you have to say, because we're going to get to this a little later, honesty. We're going to get to honesty in relationship. And I think it's, and I'm going to share with you a couple of examples. I think it's very important that there's honesty in a relationship. If you're not going to marry the individual, then I think you ought to tell the person from the very beginning what your intentions are. And if you don't have the courage to do that, then I think you ought to think twice about what you're doing. There's responsibility if you're going to date. We need to have responsibility in our relationships, and people don't want to take responsibility by and large. Point B, you need to guard their dignity and their self-respect. You need to guard their dignity and their self-respect. Don't cheapen them. Guys, don't cheapen women. You know how easy it is, and I've even seen this with Christian men and women. You go out for a little while, and you girls know this. You feel the pressure. He's taking you out a couple times. You've gone out to a nice place to eat. And now, of course, it's your turn to pay him back. And, of course, you know the way you're going to pay him back. That's cheap, people. That's really cheap. That's really low. Besides the fact it's immoral. It's not right. You're not looking out for the other person's interest. You're not putting them first. And you need to really think about that. Because every single individual that I've talked to that's been honest with me has told me, when I got sexual, I got guilt. You're not looking out for the person's conscience. I don't care if it seems great for the moment. I don't care if you're caught in the heat of passion. Every single person I've talked to, until they've seared their conscience, felt bad after it was all over. They went home and they felt cheapened. They felt lower. Until finally you get to a point that it really doesn't bother you anymore. And frankly, that's, before I came to know the Lord, that's the point I got to. I knew when I started out, 16, it wasn't right. I knew that. And I knew I would, and then you know what happens, and we're going to get to this, what happens in relationships, and you gals know this, you guys know this, pretty soon it becomes exclusively physical. It becomes almost exclusively physical. And you just live for it. Some of you don't, you may think I'm Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Now I'm going to share with you a little bit of my life. I was so much involved in this in high school, I did this stuff at school. I'd fake like I was going out to practice music, and I had this special room because I could sing so good that I could go to. And I'd get it on in the room. That's how much this stuff revolved in my life, and it ate away in my life. And most of you know in this room, that's the situation. And the gal feels emotionally dependent. She feels she's got to keep putting out to keep this guy. And finally, the whole thing just falls to smithereens. And it ruins people's lives. And it really took a toll on mine. And I know in my interaction with many of you, it's taken a toll on you. So I think we need to be very honest. And we need to really pursue a very godly mentality in a relationship with the opposite sex. We need to look out for their conscience. We need to respect their dignity. We need to respect their person. And we need to respect their self-respect. We should do nothing that lowers their self-respect. Secondly, we should build the other person up spiritually. The relationship should be spiritually edifying. Turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 2. Romans 15 and verse 2. It says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. We sure wouldn't want to take that wrong. Well, it will please this guy I'm going out with if I go to bed with him. Obviously, we can't take the verse that way because the Bible gives us other principles in other passages. The point is to build another individual up, to build him up spiritually, that they're growing in the relationship with God, that the relationship is bringing both of you in a direction towards Christ. If it's not, you need to take a long, hard look at the relationship. Please be honest. Please be honest with yourself, because it's going to benefit yourself and the other individual. Point three, don't expect, and I already mentioned this, don't expect some physical payment back. I think that's very important. I think that's really, really important. Personally, I think it just lowers the person to prostitute. And I think we need to really understand that. Might as well just give them money. That's what most dating gets to today. And I think it's degrading. And I think as men, I shared this with you last week, guys, I think we're the primary responsible ones in this relationship. If you're going to get in a relationship, I think you need to be a man of integrity. You need to be knights in shining armor. We desperately need men of integrity today. And men who have a high moral conviction and have a high moral caliber. And we do nothing to injure the dignity or the self-respect of that particular woman. That's very important. So, point E, emotional dependency is not healthy. Emotional dependency is not healthy. You should be God-dependent, not people-dependent. I think this is what they call codependence, but I don't know. Codependence is nothing more than people whose whole self-image revolves around what other people think and whose whole makeup revolves around other people all the time. We need to be God-dependent. We need to be relying on Him for our stability, on Him for our security, on Him for our encouragement, on Him for our love, on Him for our joy, on Him for our excitement, not on people. We need to always be in a giving posture, not in a taking posture. We need to be people who are always giving. Jesus was always giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You'll always be happier. And so God gave these things for your good. These aren't a drag. This is a joy to live according to these principles. Number two, honesty. It is so important that we are honest about our intentions and that we handle others with care. Now I'm going to share with you, this is an extreme example. I'm not saying you should follow this example, but I just want to tell you, this was certainly my concern when I met my wife who I'm married to now. Because this was so much a part of my past, when I was 19, God really gripped my life in quite a few ways. Number one, I was involved in a relationship at 19, and it was primarily an immoral relationship. And I would go and see this girl. She lived in Des Moines. And we were involved, and it was primarily an immoral thing. Okay? And God, I was a believer at the time. I knew the Lord. And I knew it was wrong, but I didn't care. I was running from God. I didn't care about what God wanted in my life. At the same time, I was very empty inside. Very empty. Very purposeless. Had no reason to live, except for my passions. So I had this little sports car, and I would drive it back and forth to Des Moines. And a couple times going back and forth, one particular I'll never forget, I was driving down the freeway and woke up in the grass, you know, in the middle of Highway 35. Scared me to death, jumped back out on the highway with the little car and tried to get my eyes awake. It was about 4:30 in the morning. I had to be to work at 6. And next thing I know, I'm asleep, and I wake up and I'm in the ditch again. Now, you know how you are when you sleep, you're swerving all over. And I still to this day am not quite sure how I got all the way home. I don't remember the trip. I was so shot. And God began to slowly but very surely get a hold of this young man's attention. Real quick. The next day, I went to work. Almost had a guy run head on to me. If I did not have a sports car, I'd be dead today. That would move on a dime. I'd be dead head on. Some old guy just pulled right out in front of me. I get to work, take the corner, it's ice, head for the ditch, cry out, oh God, what in the world's going on, throws me back, head for the place I work, my accelerator sticks in this 5-mile-an-hour zone at 70 miles an hour, I'm zooming through these little kids, and how do I turn? So I turn the car off, put it in neutral, of course it won't go off real quick when it's revved that high. Get to work, my heart is pounding like crazy, walk into the place where I work, turn up the thermostat, turn around, answer the phone, and I hear this foosh. I look out into the factory area, and flames are just shooting out, and it had been a huge gas leak. I dove out the door, covered my head, waited for the whole thing to blow up. Same day, the same three things happened, and I want to tell you something. God got a hold of this guy's attention. Really got a hold of my attention. Big time. You know what hit me? What hit me was I'm 19 and a half years old, and the most critical event in my life I have no control over. No control at all, and I am not ready to die. And I am not ready to meet God. And I'll tell you what, I went that night and told this girl, I'm sorry, God's got full clean of my life. I'll never be back again. And I never went back again. And I knew because of my life, some of you that have been chemically dependent, alcoholics, you know that you better not ever touch the stuff again. You just know that. Well, I knew that about women. See, it's not that I didn't like them. I liked them a lot. I knew that if I get involved or I start to go out or dabble in that kind of thing, I'm down the tubes again. And so I told God, God, if you said, and I shared this with you the first week, if you didn't spare your own son, you love me enough to give me your son, then I firmly believe that if you just, I mean, you just made Eve. Adam didn't have a dating experience. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Adam didn't have a dating experience. God just set him up. And he got the woman and he loved her. That's the way it is. And you know, it's really that simple, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. So I said, all right, God is good enough for Adam. If you're good enough for him, then you're good enough for me. You're good enough for me, and I'm going to trust you. So, after about a year and a half, cold turkey I was for a year and a half, and it was a great joy in my life not to have to worry about impressing some girl or messing around because I just didn't have the time. God had the all-consuming desire of my heart. I went to this conference, and I was across my heart, I was not interested in girls. They were just sisters and my brothers. They were friends, and that's all. In fact, this is just a little personal history about me. I was really convinced that I was going to be like Paul and that a godly man just won't get married. And I believe that. I taught it to the young guys I lead in the Lord. Tell them the same thing. It's got to go. You're going to be like Paul. There's no, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I believe that. So, I mean, I was really, really prepared, you know. So I'm walking along, and I mind my own business. I get this little bag of popcorn, and there's all these people standing here, and they have a conversation, and there's this girl here all by herself. And I thought, well, you know, look out for the interest of others. And that was really my desire, honest to God. I just said, hi. I said, is this your first conference? And my first conference, too. And how long have you known the Lord? And turns out our testimonies were absolutely identical. Turns out this girl was unlike any girl I'd ever met in my life. And it wasn't my idea. God just kind of hit me over the head. And I didn't ask for it. I wasn't on this big woman hunt. I was just minding my own business, and I just couldn't ignore it. And I went home that night. I mean, in 15 minutes, that's all it took. It's all we talked. Then we were gone. I was dumbfounded. I was stunned. Somebody took a ray gun and shot me. And all the way home, I'm telling Tim about this girl I met. I can't believe it, Tim. I can't get this out of my mind. You got to help me. I never met anybody like her, you know. So I knew I was coming back to the conference the next day, and I thought, oh, Lord, you know the games people play, and I know them too. You know, you look at them real quick. Then you just kind of wander over their way. In the cafeteria line, you think it's kind of be cool, you know. Oh, hey, I didn't know you were going to be here again today. Well, how you doing? You know, totally phony and totally set it up yourself. And I refused to do that. I said, God, I will not do this because I could go do it so simple. It's so easy to deceive and be charming and be fake. And I want something real. And I want to really see you work in this area if it's really from you. So I saw her in a room like this over, and I didn't do a thing. I didn't go. I didn't approach her. Later that night, I was getting ready to leave with Tim. And we were in a room like this. It was cram-packed with people. And it was about 11:30, and Tim and I were getting ready to go home. And I had this cup and some food in this cup. And I turned around to throw it away. And literally, like right here, you know, I turned around and ran into Kathy. Just ran right into her. I didn't even see her. I was just, and ran in. Now, of course, we started to talk. Because that was my sign from God, see? I mean, he did it for Gideon, he did it for me. And so, you know, I just, okay, Lord, I won't ignore this person. Look out for their interests. Try to encourage them in the Lord. And so I began this conversation, and we got each other's address. And I knew, you see, that we'd write. So I left and wasn't going to see her again. Thought we'd just write. Turns out that she's rooming with a girl named Carol Pells, who I graduated from high school with. And Kathy's telling her the same things that I was telling Tim. Well, I didn't find this out till years later. It wasn't like, you know, she came running to me and told me, you know, hey, Mark, Kathy, go out with you if you ask. You know how it is in high school, you know. Susie really likes you, and she wants me to tell you. And it wasn't anything like that. Nobody told me anything. But here's what went through my mind. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you, okay? And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, here we are going to be writing back and forth. And Kathy is just growing in her Christian life. And nothing can devastate a young guy or a young girl in their faith when they grow than to get sidetracked by a guy or a girl. And I knew that. So I said, Lord, listen, here's the honest fact. I never met a girl like this before in my life. And if you want us to get married, I'd marry her. That's how impressed I was. And that's all I was interested in anyway. If it's not the real thing, I'd have time for games. So in my youth, I didn't have the benefit of counsel. I was in this little dinky, tiny Bible study fellowship, and me and another guy were kind of the leaders, see? And so it was. Tim said, yeah, go for it. You know, I think it sounds good. And so I went down two weeks after I met her. 2 weeks. I thought honesty is the best policy. So that's the best thing. So I went down, and she was out running. She was a runner then for Iowa State, the cross-country team. So I sat on the steps waiting, and she came back very surprised to see me, but I could tell very glad. And so I said, hi, Kathy, just happened to be down here, you know. And Ames said, that was not true. I didn't say that. And I said, can we talk? I said, something I really want to talk to you about. So we went out, and I said, listen, I want to be real honest with you, you know, really honest. I got your address, and I knew we were going to be writing. But I didn't want anything to be phony here. I didn't want you to be reading between the lines, you know, or me reading between the lines. So I just thought I'd come and just be totally honest with you. I've wondered ever since I met you if God may want us to get married someday. Now, I don't know that, but I just wonder, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to pray about it. I live 40 miles away. She said, you know, I've been thinking about the same thing. I just haven't been able to get it off my mind. So she started to pray about it, and I started to pray about it, and we'd write back and forth, and I got all the letters. I'd be glad to show them to you. They weren't really mushy. She was sharing with me the things she was learning, and this was on Halloween. And about Christmas, we were going to go see her family, and then I got this Dear Mark letter. You know, those Dear Mark letters. And someone was doing a series like I am right now on love, sex, and marriage, and all that kind of stuff. And she said, you know, Mark, I'm not sure this is what God wants, and I think it would be better if we didn't write, if we didn't interact. So I just want to be clear about this. I said, fine. So we didn't write. About a month and a half later, I got a letter from her. Says, you know, I've been praying about it, and I think this is what God wants for me. God wants me for you. So then I went down to Ames, and of course she was with some really neat girls who were working with her. So why don't you go talk to so-and-so, to one of the pastors? And so I was scared to death, but I thought, well, I'm nervous, but gee whiz, I really want this to be from God. I'm not into playing games. So the Bible says every plan is confirmed by counsel. So I went down, and sure enough, boy, this guy thought it was incredible how God was just working in our lives and putting us together. And I really respected this man, had tremendous respect for him. Boy, I went out of there just pumped, you know. God is working. It's so cool to see God work. And then the rest of the story is a long story, and I'm not going to tell you the rest tonight, some other time. But anyway, it's really in depth, and our love was certainly tested, and I'll share that with you some other time. But anyway, I believe in honesty. Okay, but I believe in mature honesty, and I don't know that I would repeat that now, knowing what I know. But I was doing the best I could, and I was doing the best I knew then. I think it's important that you're honest with yourself about your intentions. Why do you want to go out with this girl? Why do you want to go out with this guy? I think that's important, and I think it's important. And I've told some of you gals this. Different ones have asked, well, you know, Mark, so-and-so asked me out, and I don't really know what to say. And I said, be honest. What do you mean, be honest? I can't be honest. I said, sure you can be honest. Tell the individual that you really care for them a lot. You really respect them, and you appreciate your friendship. But at this time in your life, you just don't have any interest in romance. What's so tough about that? And it's so caring, and it's so sensitive, and then the person is not left hanging in the dark. That's the truth. See, and I don't want you to say it's not the truth. So I believe in honesty. I think honesty is very important. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. And I think it's important that we learn to speak the truth in love to one another. That we learn to communicate with sensitivity, and that we think before we speak. I think it's very important that you think before you speak. You know? You girls have to deal with this sometimes. You get calls from somebody and it's the last person in the world you want to go out with. Well, be honest. Don't tell your girlfriend to tell him you're not there. Okay? Don't do that. Don't say, Mom, I'm not home. Just get on the phone and with some loving sensitivity say, you know, Bob, listen, I really like you. But I'd have to honestly say, I'm just not interested in marriage or romance. Okay? But I like you as a friend. And I don't want it to ruin our friendship. Well, if Bob slams down the phone and gets hot and heavy and mad, that's Bob's responsibility. But at least you did what was right. At least you communicated what was right. And I think you guys, I think we need to have integrity ourselves. Thirdly, I think purity. Purity is a must. You can't afford to fool around. Okay? You're just going to have to take my word for that. Some of you know that already by experience. Purity is a must. The Bible demands it. God demands it. God asks of it. Of us, and the reason why is for your protection. That's all. See, we think, well, God wants to keep this great thing from you. He don't want to keep it from you. He's the one who made it. He's the one who invented it. We would have never come up with something so cool. He's the one, he made it. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And he wants your best in it. So wait. Wait. Don't tear down the dignity or the self-respect of another person. Because you're selfish. And that's really what it gets down to. Be honest about it. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's self-gratifying. And it's all there is to it. Avoid aloneness in tempting situations, apartments, etc. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. If you think you can control your compassions, your passions, and get in some awkward situation, you're fooling yourself. It's like playing with matches. It's more like playing with nitroglycerin. It's like tossing it between two people to see how many times you can throw it before it explodes. Okay? And passions are that way. And I've talked with many a person who's come to me after something's happened, really hurt and real grief. Said, I never intended that to happen. I got in the situation and it was so volatile and I couldn't stand it. And I want to explain to you one of the reasons why that's true today. Because you've been conditioned. Let's be honest. When you watch TV, the women that appear on TV, or the women that appear in the movies, or the songs that you hear, are very sexual in nature. And it's almost like anybody you meet is just ready to jump in bed with you. You watch Dallas, you watch Falcon Crest, you watch the sitcoms, you watch Cheers, one of the most popular sitcoms, and it's all the guy has on his mind, the bartender. You get the, and the girl, of course, is like, you know, she's a prude because she's not interested in the same thing. Well, then sometimes she is. And so you've been systematically conditioned. So when you get in these situations, you don't realize that you've already been, when somebody dings the bell, you start to salivate. That's the whole point of what I'm saying. Man, your juices start to go. So, you know, be honest. I want to be honest with you. Be honest with yourself. Guard your thought life. Don't do things that will jeopardize your thoughts. I think that's another thing you got to ask yourself when you're dating. What are you thinking about? What in the world's going through your mind? You know, gals, I want to say this. You girls are just prone to this as guys. I've thought of girls that said, oh yeah, I like this guy. I mean, we've been through the honeymoon, married for 2 years, and already got kids. And I know what they're saying. It's just a nice way of saying I've been to bed with him quite a few times. You need to really guard your thoughts, and the devil will wreak havoc in your life, in your thought life. Okay? So that's what you need to ask him when you're in this situation. What's going on in your mind? Now, what's going on when you leave this great romantic evening, you know? And you know how it is. You're touched and you're almost ready to just drop right there. Now, that's not always the case, but you need to be aware that that happens. See? Number one, it happens because God created you for these kinds of things, but in marriage. But in our society, it's very heightened. A very heightened awareness because we've been so systematically conditioned. And the last thing, remember, dating is not a game. Whenever it is treated as such, people get hurt. Dating really isn't a game. And that really is the way a lot of men look at it and the way a lot of women look at it. It's a game. It's fun. It's a leisure activity. It's a hobby. It's a pastime. And that's all baloney. It's a very dangerous pastime. It's ideas towards women and all the things that go in your mind right into your marriage. And you'll just have to take my and Brent's word on that because we've been there, both of us, for almost 10 years. Take our word for it. We're telling you the truth. We love you and we care about you. And I want you to have successful marriages. I want you to have successful relationships with the opposite sex. That's why I've been frank with you. I think frankness is a wonderful thing because I want to be honest with you. So don't treat it as a game. Please treat it with all seriousness. Nobody wants to be rejected. It's no fun to get rejected. We get that enough in life, don't we? We don't need that to happen between a guy or girl that we really care about and all of a sudden we're just dumped for someone prettier or we're dumped because we're unacceptable. One of the things we want to do at New Life, some people ask me, Mark, nobody in New Life seems to date. Well, listen, that's why I said this tonight. I want you to know, I am not teaching an anti-date policy. Okay? But I do want to be honest about the situation. It's up to your own conviction. But one of the beauties about New Life, you know what I like? And I'm sure you have observed this. My wife observed this when she first used to come. 14 years ago at Iowa State. Nobody was treating her like a piece of meat. You know how special that is? You know how nice that is? You know how nice it is to be able to come to a group of young men and women and you don't have boy chase girl and girl chase boy and everybody hanging on one another and there's real genuine concern and security? It's an awesome thing. And many of you have commented to me on that. And we do everything we can to guard that. I mean, I think that's a neat thing. I also think marriage is a great thing. I think love is a great thing. So I just laid these guidelines out. There are only a few. There are many more that you can look in the Word. But I want to encourage you, you go to God. You've got the Spirit. You've got the Word. You go to it and say, well, God, what really do you want in this area in my life? I want to do what you want. And if you won't do that, then again, let's be honest. You don't want God's perspective. Okay? So I wish you the best in your dating experiences. I really do. I want you to be careful. I want you to adhere to these guidelines because they're God's. They're not mine. And you can go home and think about them a lot. Let's just pray and thank the Lord, and then I've got one really special announcement, okay? Lord, we just thank you tonight for our time. We thank you, Lord, that you have the very best for each of us in finding a mate. God, I just thank you that your plans are good and they're perfect and they're acceptable. I pray, Lord, that as believers, people who know Christ, that we would really set a standard that is different than the society we live in. I pray, Lord, that as men, we would treat our sisters in all purity and with real dignity and respect. I pray, Lord, that as women, we would treat our brothers with real care and really look out for their interests and do nothing to cause one to stumble. God, help us to look out for each other's interests to that degree. Thank you for our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. His name, amen.